Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm excited because we're starting a new module today. We're starting our creating awareness module. But before we get there, I had a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. The first is I want to completely normalize the experience. If you are feeling behind or you haven't done all the homework, or I'm not doing all the things. I'm normalizing it this early in the training, and I'm going to continue to normalize it, right? So first of all, I want to remind everybody, no myth of perfection, like ever, 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 right? We're all, myself included, working on undoing perfectionist thinking. I am probably the only person here who's going to be at all of our calls, right? That's number one. Two of you, maybe. But, you know, we can sometimes miss calls or get behind, whatever it is. Remember, you're a human being. And remember that you can always catch up or start to catch up. If you are feeling behind, make a plan for yourself, right? Like blueprint it out when you're going to listen to X recording or when you're going to do Y piece of homework. Also prioritize. It's okay if you missed a recording and you don't listen to it for a couple of months. If you've got some other things that are higher on the priority list in your life or your work right now, or maybe there's a homework assignment that you really wanted to do, but you just don't have the space for it the next 2 weeks. No big deal. Note it. Have compassion for yourself. Make a note for when you can fit it in, but don't let the anxiety or pressure or shame of not having done it all hold you back from showing up and being fully present here and getting everything that you're meant to get from being how you can show up. Does that make sense? Additionally, if you need support, if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, or I'm not sure, or where should I focus, and you want some support on that, reach out to Caitlin. That is one of the reasons why she's here and why I have a program ambassador. If you haven't yet connected with Caitlin, she is amazing. She will help get you on track. I know she has started reaching out to everybody to see if you want to connect for a call. You don't have to connect for a call with her, but if you want to connect in or talk to her about anything, she is there for you. Okay, so that was the first piece I wanted to mention. Second piece I wanted to mention, and this is important. It's like a housekeeping piece and also a little bit of, I guess these are all a little bit of teaching pieces too, along with the housekeeping, because I'm modeling for you also. I want to acknowledge that in particular, our Q&A calls, but also some of our training calls have gone over the 90-minute time. And I want to kind of speak to that a little bit. So on my end, it's been amazing. This happens to be a group of people who have a lot of questions and who you are happy to raise your hand and ask questions. And this is what I love the most. So you could probably tell I get excited and energized to be able to respond to your needs and coach you and consult and all the things. That being said, you know, we learned about containers. And so I just want to like name it that, you know, we said that the containers are 90 minutes for, you know, most of the training calls and the Q&A calls. And I have been going over because I've been wanting to answer as many raised hands as possible. What's important for you to know, number one, is if you need to get off at the 90 minute mark, our container for you for that day is complete. I'm never going to share any curriculum that is set and promised in sacred depths after the pre-agreed time that we're ending. So I don't want you ever to feel like you have to stay on, or if you don't stay on, that you're going to miss something essential that was promised to you. So I'm really want to be clear on that, that I'm like really holding that the container that we agreed to. And then that being said, whenever I have time and space to go over, if there are extra questions, I am always, always happy to answer them. It's not coming from a place of overgiving, right? Because that's really important. That would affect the energy of the container. It's not coming from a place of needing to overgive from me. It's coming from my heart and my desire in my heart. All that being said, a couple of pieces more to know about this. Number one, if you ever have questions in between sessions, remember our Facebook group is there. And that's one of the reasons why it's there for. I am always happy to answer questions in the Facebook group. So if you have more questions, please ask them. I love, love, love to answer. Starting in July, officially, we're going to move to 2 Q&A calls a month. So there'll be more opportunity to ask questions. And there's a little question mark by this, but I'll know over the next week or two for May and June. I just want to kind of like get to the other side of my surgery, which is happening this week. But for May and June, I think I'm going to add an extra Q&A call as well. Just some more opportunities for those of you that want to connect, that we have that for you. I want you to be supported in all the ways. Okay, that's that. And then speaking of extra opportunities to connect, as you all know, I always like to add gifts and goodies and bonuses whenever I can. They're not required, but they're there for you if you want to take me up on them. They're not to overwhelm you like, oh my God, another thing to show up for, right? It's like, it's there if you have the time and the space. And this thing will be there also in your member center for whenever you want it, if you don't want to come live. But I wanted to share with all of you that on May 31st, I'm going to be hosting a workshop that you all have a gift spot in. It's called Wicked Stepmothers and Lowly Handmaidens, Transmuting, I forget the subtitle exactly, but it's basically transmuting jealousy into empowerment. And it is one of my favorite workshops. We use the Cinderella story as an archetypal metaphor to go deep into the shadows of jealousy and envy and competition and actually harness the gold and the superpower inside of it for good for us, for good for the world. It's a great opportunity to do inner work. It's a great opportunity if you want some modeling around group exercises and different types of things and just more modeling of coaching. So you'll get information on that, but I just wanted you to know what it is. And if you want to put it in your calendar right now, it's on May 31st from 1:30 to 4:30 Eastern. And again, if it's not the right time for you, It'll be there as a recording in your member center for life. So whenever you want to get to it, get to it. Some of you may have already done it with me before. I recommend doing it again. If you loved it, you'll go deeper this time around. Okay, two more housekeeping things. I just wanted to note that on May 24th, you have this in your calendar. In May 24th, at 12:30 Eastern, we have a bonus guest teacher training with Makita Pennycook, looking at issues of race and equity in our coaching. We'll be there live. Makita will be teaching the class. We'll be there live on the 24th. It's there for, I recommend coming live if you can make it. That being said, we don't always get Makita live. So I always put a recording of that class in our member center too. So that recording is also already there for you if you want to listen to the recording. And then finally, last logistics piece. I wanted to talk a little bit about certification. I try to not pile all the things on at once when we start. Like, first we talk about coaching partners and then the small group cohorts. Now that we've kind of gotten through all of that, we can talk a little bit about certification. So starting this week, if you would like to sign up and register to become officially an official Sacred Depths practitioner, that is available for you if you're in the full mastery program. It's not, how am I going to say about this? You can choose to opt in or not opt in. Some people really, really want it. For some people, it's really important to have the certification, to have that kind of like stamp of, yes, I've mastered these skills, and all the things. And I love that. I'm a validation person myself. So I get that one training. It wasn't even a training. It was just like a personal program that I did at the end of the year. My teacher, the very last class, my teacher was like, "And Joanna, I know you probably want a diploma." So that might be your thing. And then I also just really want to normalize, you might know for yourself that you don't need it, right? It's not for you. And that is completely legit as well. Everybody, this is really a personal decision and about what's right for you. There's no right or wrong. What I would say is if you know you want that like validation diploma thing, everybody will get a certificate of completion in the end, by the way, whether you do certification or not. So you will get that. But if I'd say doing certification is for you, for one or two reasons. The first is if it really helps your confidence and your ability to go forward to kind of have that, yes, I passed thing, then I would do it. The other thing is if you want the rigor of doing the requirements, if you want an accountability structure for doing all of the practice, and I'll go through in a moment what the requirements are, doing the practice, having us listen to recordings of you coaching, and getting feedback on it. If you want the rigor of taking the final exam and, you know, all of that, and then the study, it's not a lot of study for it, I promise. But, you know, if you know that it is helpful for you and your mastery to have that rigor, then that's another good reason to do certification. I'm going to go through very briefly the requirements right now. You'll get an email about it. All of this information is also in your member center. You don't have to sign up right now. You really have until later this summer to decide if you want to do it. But if you know you kind of want that accountability starting now, then you might want to sign up sooner than later versus doing catch up on it. But very briefly, it's not letting me into the member center right now. Okay, I'm going to do this from memory. Very briefly, the main requirements are 18 coaching partner hours. So having a coaching partner in Sacred Depths and doing at least, and the hour means sessions with your partner, right? So doing the 18 sessions with your partner. In addition to that, doing another 18 coaching sessions. They can be paid or they can be not paid, volunteer. I recommend doing those not with your coaching partner, but, you know, with a paid client or a volunteer client. We have a final exam at the end of the program. For every module, you have in your member center a quiz at the end of the module. Those quizzes are to help prepare you for the final exam. About 50% of the questions on the final exam come straight from the quizzes, maybe even a little more. They all come from the worksheets. Completing all of the homework, and there's a log for you to, and it's honor system. It's just, we're not checking your homework assignments. It's just checking off that you did it and checking off that you came to or listened to all of our training sessions. Certification doesn't require coming to our Q&A calls, our small group cohort calls, any of the bonus calls. It's the training sessions. And then two other requirements. One is you'll submit two recordings, one halfway through the program when we're done with foundations of you coaching. It's a great opportunity to get feedback on the coaching skills that we're looking at. And I don't just, it might help to know I don't listen to those recordings. And maybe it takes some pressure off. My team listens to those recordings and they are very generous in giving you reflections, both on like what you're really nailing and mastering so well, and then places to stretch and for improvement. It's a really beautiful opportunity and experience. And then the second recording is submitted after the program is done. And that's more, that's like a pass fail. We rate it. Final requirement is to do four sessions with one of my team Sacred Depths coaches as opportunity for you to get one-on-one modeling in the Sacred Depths ways and skills and feeling. You know, the more that you get the modeling of it from me and then in those sessions, the more you can master the skills. I think the only other thing to say, so, you know, I try to keep the, obviously there's a lot of extra teamwork involved in certification, listening to the recordings, doing the coaching, the private coaching sessions, marking the tests, looking over the logs, you know, all the things. So I keep the fee for certification as low as possible. I actually lose money on it, which I do happily for those of you that want to be certified. It's $600 total for, you know, receiving all of that if you want to be on the certification track. And you'll see, you'll get an email, you can pay it in full or you can pay it in monthly installments. Also, requirements, last thing, because this is always a big thing, they're not it's not like you have to submit them the last day of the program. You'll have time after the program. All the due dates are written out for you in the member center. Okay. I just gave you a lot of information. Let me pause here. Any questions on anything for now? Victoria.
Hi, I was wondering, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was wondering when it came to our practice sessions, if there is like a form or something that we need to fill out and then actually submit it to like officially log those hours in detail?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. I'm going to say I'm 99% sure there is. If it is, it's in your member center. And also I'll double check with Caitlin, but I believe that there is. And it's not like a lot. I'm trying to streamline it for you. It's not a ton of paperwork. It's more, what did you learn from the session? You know, just a couple of key questions on it. Yeah, but that's a good question. Marla, only saw the quiz in the first session. I'll double check on that. There should be a listening quiz. They get dropped in at the end of each module, the quizzes. So I'll check in on that. Any other questions for now? And you'll have plenty of opportunity to ask other questions as well. Okay, great. Sheila's saying the second one is found in the area of the listening practicum. Thank you, Sheila. Okay. All right. So with that, we can jump into creating awareness. Even though we're starting a new module, we're also definitely not done with listening skills, right? Learning is cyclical, not linear. We did listening skills at the beginning of the program, but you'll see your listening skills will continue to deepen and deepen and deepen as we go through each module, come back to skills, play your edges, whatever the edges are for you on the listening skills. Creating awareness is going to be a three session module, just like listening was. We'll have two sessions. Our second session, as you know, is going to be tomorrow, rescheduled because of my surgery. And then the third will be a practicum in 2 weeks. All right. So what is creating awareness and why is it so important? Creating awareness is the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they were not previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves or their situation that they were previously not able to acknowledge and accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation. Something that will help them become more confident, more clear, more able, or more open. Jennifer, the Creating Awareness Part 2 module is going to happen tomorrow because I had an unexpected medical thing come up. I'm not going to be able to be in the office next week. The recording will be there for everyone if you can't make it live. And that's all in your member center. And creating awareness is also a strategy that allows your client to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply, because it allows the both of you, practitioner and client, to see your client more clearly and hold them and that clarity. Creating awareness can support clients to see what's in their blind spot, to see their patterns, to see their achievements, to see their resources, to see their gaps, to see their obstacles, to see their inner answers, their talents, their truest desire. Creating awareness can sometimes help co-create a breakthrough in an instant. It can sometimes co-create a breakthrough right then and there. And take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. Someone, a coach, a practitioner, a friend, a colleague, a family member has reflected something back to you. And in that instant, it was like so much opened up. You could see so much more. I've had that happen numerous times for myself. So the ability to support a client in creating awareness stems directly from being a good listener. You can't co-create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client. It's also hard to support your clients in creating awareness if you're operating with unchecked filters. So one of my kind of coaching philosophies and approach with clients is that I want to create an environment where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible in order to make the most aligned decisions and create the most aligned strategies. So what that means is not always, but much of the time before I move on to the strategizing part of a session, like what are the next action steps, et cetera, I'm going to be working with a client to create as much awareness as possible. Every now and again, we'll jump into strategy first. We see where the fears are, and then we create more awareness from there. But in general, I'm not jumping straight into action steps or strategies, even if a client comes to a call with like, I want to bring in 5 new clients. How do I do that? We're going to be looking, listening, creating awareness first. Because we don't want to create an unsound strategy or unsound action steps. We want to bring as much out to reveal as much as possible so that the client is working with as much information as possible to make informed decisions. That makes sense? Okay. So there are a number of ways that you can co-create awareness. One of the biggest ways is questions that illuminate the truth. We're going to do a full module on questions after this one and so much on questions throughout the course of the program. Another way of co-creating awareness is what I call reflecting the truth. We're going to be looking at that and different sub-techniques of that today. Another way of co-creating awareness is consulting or facting. We'll either get to that today or in our next call. It's kind of a subset of reflecting truth. We'll talk about that. Also, there is acknowledging, honoring, acknowledging, celebrating. They all go together. We're going to be looking at them tomorrow as ways of creating awareness. And then personal anecdote and storytelling. We'll get around to some of that as well. So much of the time, you want to co-create awareness by asking really good questions. in many cases, this is the preferable way, because often when an individual hits on an awareness on their own, without being told, but instead by answering for themselves, it can often make a deeper impression and deeper impact than if they were simply told. That awareness goes deeper if the client finds it first themselves. That being said, there are other situations where a client is either, they're not going to find it by answering a question, or what's going to actually be most supportive of them creating awareness in that moment is for it to be reflected to them. So when we get to questioning, we'll go deep into that. But the reason why I just bring it up is because it's sometimes easy to default to reflecting, and it can be a very powerful tool, but we don't want to default to it all the time. Sometimes the piece of awareness that wants to be created is just so deep inside your client where they don't see it, that questioning isn't going to do the trick. Sometimes the awareness is something that you know as the practitioner, but your client doesn't yet know it because you've had experience with it and your client hasn't yet had experience with it, like consulting, right? In those cases, no, they can't answer the question. Sometimes the awareness is something that's going to be best integrated if the client knows it's something that you as the practitioner sees inside of them, being told that you see it inside of them, right? And then yet other times you're going to feel just intuitively that reflecting the truth and directly and clearly hearing from you is what's going to make the most impact. I happen to be a big reflector. I'm sure you've probably noticed as I coach and answer questions, it's a personal style thing. There are some trainings out there that might tell you never reflect what you see as a truth. And we'll even talk about what that means as truth in a little bit. But I toss it for you to try on for yourself, you know, if it's something that you want to use. Okay, so let's start to get into this skill of reflecting the truth. Reflecting the truth is when you share with your client what you're seeing or sensing. It might be based on them and who they are, and it might be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular experience in conjunction with what you hear from them. So let me give you some examples to start out with. Let's say you're working with a client who has, as you're listening, you hear that this client has never really forgotten their partner for X, right? Something that happened 3 years ago. That might be something that you might reflect. Or let's say you have a client who says they want to lose 10 pounds, but from what you're hearing, you're not actually sure that that's what they want. It sounds like maybe that's what that person's mother wants for them. That might be something that you reflect. Maybe you're working with a client and you see consistently that this client is overgiving and it's causing the client harm. That might be something that you reflect. Some of these scenarios, again, a good question can do it, but sometimes it's a situation where reflecting it is going to get you there. Maybe as you listen to your client, you see that every time your client goes to accomplish something, there's a self-sabotage piece involved. Maybe you're listening to a client and they're telling you all the things they want to accomplish over the next week. And you know from experience that there's probably not enough time in the week for them to accomplish all of this happens for me a lot when I do business coaching. Like, you can't get a website and a preview call up in the next 2 weeks, right? That's kind of, then I go a little bit into, that's my expertise and consulting mode, right? And reflecting that. Now, always, and you'll see as we get deeper into all of this, I never share it as truth with a capital T. There is always, the client always knows best. That might be my filter on how fast or slow that I work, right? Or that I've seen other people work. And you all have heard me say already so many times in this program, this is my truth, but I want you to check it out for yourself, right? Or I'm tossing this for you to consider. Even when I'm consulting, I am sharing that. Because again, even as a consultant, there isn't just one truth, right? To reflect. We're going to get into techniques in a little bit later in the call, but first I want to get into some of the human behavior around reflecting truth. Maybe you can see from some of the examples that I just gave that sometimes reflecting the truth is not easy for a client to hear. Kind of like reflecting a hard truth. And there are a couple of different ways that human beings respond when they're presented with something that's hard to hear. One way that humans respond is they get it, they hear it, they understand it immediately, and then they have a breakthrough, right? And they integrate it. It's so awesome when that happens, but that doesn't always happen. You might know for yourself or from situations you've been in that another way human beings respond to a hard truth is that they get angry or defensive or go into denial about it. Or they go into self-judgment or victimhood or hopelessness. Or maybe they check out or get confused. I bring this up not to scare you about reflecting truths at all, but to be aware. And this is why, as you reflect truths, you want to be really skilled and clear on how to do it, especially if it's a hard truth. That way, you have the best chances of having your client hear it, understand it, consider it for themselves, and possibly have a breakthrough in awareness if it resonates for them. So we're going to get to the how and the mechanics, but before we get there, I want to take a look at the difficulties that a practitioner might have when we go to reflect a harder truth. Because the mechanics of the techniques, they're actually pretty simple. It's the energetics that can make things wonky and detract from a masterful delivery. So especially practitioners who are deeply caring, that I know all of us are, when we go to reflect a harder truth, we might have a fear of hurting our client, or we might have a fear of our client getting angry or upset. And I just want to normalize that, even though I teach this and I have come a very, very, very long way with it. Every now and again, it comes up for me. About a year ago, I was working with a client who is a long-term client, and we've She's incredible. And we were working on her curriculum, and she was being very, very needy. Like, even though she, at this point, I had been teaching her and coaching her and mentoring her for years, she's like a master curriculum creator. Her retreats and workshops are amazing. For whatever reason, she was like asking me every little detail of her curriculum and like sending these long Voxers, you know, and all the things. And her and I, we've also through the years worked on some of her patterns of feeling like I'm not going to be there for her when she needs it. But for whatever reason, when this came up last year, at first there was a part of me that was like, oh, I don't want to point out to her what's happening here because I don't want her to feel like I'm abandoning her, right? It was kind of that momentary. And then of course I reset my energetics and we had an incredible conversation about it. She was able to get to the next place with it. But I just share that as like, again, to normalize, you know, it can come up that we get a little scared to share some things that we think that we're seeing. That doesn't mean that it's not right to share those things. Sometimes I just want to kind of give the opposite of the example I just gave. Every now and again, sometimes we can get a little too comfortable sharing hard truths, and then we forget that a client might need a little more softness or sensitivity in the moment too. Like we want to always find the right kind of place on the spectrum to meet that particular client's needs in that moment. So reflecting truth requires bravery. It requires checking our filters. It requires objectivity. And it requires love and compassion for our clients and for ourselves, all the things back to energetics, right? I always love, you know, with this bravery piece, courage, the root of the word courage comes from the French word for heart. We need our hearts open, right? And with love to be in our courage and our bravery. Reflecting harder truths also requires us to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. Because sometimes we make the toss and it can temporarily make a client feel uncomfortable inside of themselves. One of our roles as practitioners and coaches is to be able to sit in the shadows with our clients and to be with them in their discomfort, right? To not run away from it and to not just always make it comfortable for our clients. So let me ask you some questions, some inner work. Let's do a little inner work on this, and then we'll get to techniques. What are some fears that come up for you when you consider sharing some harder truths as you see them with clients? What are some fears that come up for you when you consider sharing harder truths? Yeah. Seeing in the chat, client might get angry, hurting the client. My main concern is that it would set them back, hurting the client's feelings, worried about anger. I just want to like normalize all of this, that they'll blame me and not want to work together. potentially stepping outside my lane, might make them feel bad. I might be wrong. We're going to address all of these pieces. These are great in the techniques themselves, that they'll project onto me instead of becoming aware. Yes, that it will cause strain and tension, not allowing them to get there themselves, rushing it, right? We don't want to use it because we're like, they're not going to get there. We need them to get there right now. That's not when we want to use it. Good. Good. All right, here's another question. How often was truth named in your family growing up? Or any groups that you were part of? Religion, anything, school? How often was truth named? And how was truth shared? Was it supportive, not supportive? How was truth shared? Yep, magic is saying never, never, ever, right? How we learn, right? So many of the energetics that we bring to our coaching containers are based in the then and there, and we want to base them in the here and now. Marla, how was, let me think of a different way to ask the question. You know, growing up, how was truth shared? And maybe you'll get some ideas by reading the in the chat. Keep calm and carry on. Jennifer saying didn't feel supportive or consistent. Let's see what else. Never, everything is fine here. After the tornado destroyed the house, truth was quickly shut down. We weren't allowed to have feelings that weren't happy. Yeah, good. All right, let's look a little more. Do you have any experiences of being told a hard truth, but having it delivered with love and compassion? Do you have any experiences of being told a hard truth, but it was delivered with love and compassion? And if yes, what strikes you as important about that? Or what do you notice as you reflect back on that? Yeah, some people I can't remember, helps create deeper trust. So scared to trust that it wasn't judgment. Yep. By trusted mentors or school teacher or counselor, hard truths were usually hidden from me. Jessica's husband is good at this. He's your person. Bruce says, I need to be ready to hear it though. All of these are so great and so important, and why we're having this exploration and this discussion, right? Because it, number one, helps us understand ourselves more and how we approach this, and also helps us understand like the more of a full range of human response. Our clients are humans, right? Like for us to be as aware of possible, so we have all the resources we need to be supportive when we're creating awareness. I ask a couple of other questions. How do you take in harder truths that are shared with you? Do you respond? Do you react? Do you check out? Do you appreciate it? Depends on how it's delivered, absolutely. And then one more. Kavita Singh depends on, depends on the day and my emotional state. And that's another, that's a piece of coaching the what based on the who. Remember, our who's, our clients, can be one who in one session and another who in another session, depending on what's happened to them in their lives, if they got enough sleep, if they ate enough lunch, right? Whatever, what's happening in the world, right? So that's why we always want to be listening for the who in the moment as well. Is it a moment to reflect a particular truth or not? All right. One last question. Any, just to bring up some awareness around how family members or others have responded or reacted to you when you've shared something that you're seeing? All right, let's pause here. The shares in the chat have been great. I'd love to hear from a few of you. What's starting to click for you? What are you seeing that feels important for you so far from our conversation? Jennifer.
Hi. Oh, I just love that specific share of, like, you know, it's like, well, it depends how it's delivered. And then someone else said, well, and it also depends on how I'm feeling that day. And, you know, you reflecting back how we have to keep that in mind with our clients for sure. Of course, it's like obvious, but I think for me, this goes out more so into relating in the world. And for me, this really lands as compassion of, like, we're all just human having our days, you know, and sometimes we don't feel safe that day or whatever it is. And we might hear someone's truth and it, like, you know, this happened to me the other day. It, like, made me shake and I just, like, had to breathe through it. And just reminder, like, we're all going through something. And can I still listen with an open heart and not take it so personally, but also hear what they're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And there are certain moments with clients where it's just not the moment. Yeah. And what I want to suggest, not just for you, Jennifer, like for everybody, is the stronger the container that we build with our clients and uphold. And then, like, with certain word flourishes and techniques, it opens up the amount of opportunities that it is the right moment to share, mm-hmm. and that it can be really aligned. Beautiful. Thank you for all of that. Danielle.
One of the questions was about experiences of us being told a hard truth with love and compassion. And I thought of a particular therapist and something that he said, that when he said it, I wasn't ready to fully integrate it, but it was very impactful. And I've held it with me since. And I think what really, it's such a good example to me, because it was him so clearly advocating for me in a way that I wasn't really doing in my own life in this situation. And he had a little, I think, you know, righteous anger about something. He wasn't coming across as angry, but you could feel that in the reflection a little bit. And I thought about that, and then also it aligns with the way you just said something a little earlier about a client situation. I felt so much that he was on my team and that he saw me and saw the full picture. And I know that we talk about wanting to be seen, and we want to be seen fully. You know, none of us want just the mask or the one presentation of my best side, but the intimacy of that, again, the word sacred depths. of a person, and whether that's in a marriage or a coaching relationship or therapy, I could, I don't know. It just feels so beautiful because there's a trust that, like you were saying, it can create, it can go, the questions bring a different type of experience if the client is saying it first, but then also this, the offering and the way that you're going to teach us to offer it well, also builds a certain special kind of trust because it's like, I see you fully and I'm seeing something here and I'm on your team. And then when you said that about finding yourself for a moment, not wanting to say something to that client, what if she's, I know that this is a thing for her about maybe feeling I'm not there for her when she needs me. That also, I could see the more you know someone. So I've been with my husband for 17 years, there's certain things that like we know are a trip up point. And I could see in a client coaching relationship that being like very easy to fall for in my mind of like, this is loving her well, because I know this is a thing, I'm not going to go there. And so that feels a little tricky. And I'm glad that was in your example, because it's worth getting curious again and being like, okay, but it's still happening and I want to reflect it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And checking ourselves. And a piece, thank you for that share, Danielle. And one piece that I want to pull out for everyone, something that you mentioned that I think is really important is that sometimes awareness will be created, but the client isn't ready to fully take it in or take action on it, but the seed is planted, right? And we can then come back to it. So it's not about being attached to outcome. We want to do it when a client is ready, even just start to receive it a little bit, right? But it's, we don't want to be attached to outcome of like, and now everything is going to change. Sometimes it's about long-term seeding and then watering. Okay, good. I'm going to take Bruce and then Marla. I'm going to keep on going, but I'll open back up for shares and cues towards the end. Bruce.
Yeah. Hi, Joanna. There's a spectrum that came up here of ways this has been delivered to me, right? And from the hard truth, which when someone says that, you know, so my own experience, when somebody said the hard truth for me, where it came out of nowhere, and it's just stuck with me. And I'll remember, you know, this one time I was down at at the time my dad's down in Florida, and my stepmom was there, which I had, you know, really good relationship with them both. And I was being very arrogant about something. I don't remember what it was. And she said to me, and she's somebody who's very quiet, doesn't really speak up. And she said, "Why do you have to be like that?" And I was like, boom.
Yeah.
This blew me away, right? I had nothing, no response to her. And I've had that happen at work at times. And just that hard truth has changed my life in so many ways. So I see that as one way that really makes an impact. But then I've also had that truth delivered to me in a very loving way, which has a totally different impact on how it, how it comes into my being, which has also had an extreme impact on my life. From very loving people for blind spots that I did not see, but I had to be ready to hear them or had to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, just all these examples of that were coming up of like times that it's just changed. So that spectrum is just huge.
Yes.
The other question, I just had a question on this too, is like what came up to me is how important it would be with a client to get consent and pre-frame that in the ahead of time.
So yes to all of that. It's perfect segue into where we're going next, because we're going to look at a spectrum of different ways, and consent is one of the first like parts of it. So you're like a step ahead of me. I love it. You just set the stage for all the ways. And it's true. There isn't just one way to reflect. We want the way that we use to meet the moment. So let's jump into that and look at some of the ways. I've got about four different ways that I want to share with you. Before I do, a couple of like foundational principles that apply to all of these ways of reflecting hard truth. Number one, one question that I like to keep, I don't even do it consciously anymore, but that is always top of mind for me whenever I'm with a client, whenever I'm listening to a client, is what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that they're ready to see and would create a shortcut to their growth and results? What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that they're ready to, that would create a shortcut to their growth or results? That helps you kind of know what to create awareness on or co-create awareness on. Always, as we've been saying, check in with your inner wisdom and use all of your listening skills. Check in with your inner wisdom on whether or not it's the right moment for a client to hear that particular thing. It's not a perfect science, right? But use all your listening skills and where is that client at today? As you'll see, because it's baked into a lot of the techniques I'm about to share, and Bruce spoke to this, be willing to be wrong. Well, it's related to the consent thing, but be willing to be wrong. We might share a truth that it is not a truth for our client. And that's great, because that might spark, if it's done the right way with consent, all the pieces, it will spark what the truth is for them or the next steps to the truth, right? So and this was not the case. I'm just being honest. The first 2, 3, 4 years of my coaching, I needed to be right. It was not okay for me to be wrong, because it meant, right, whatever I decided it meant about me. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't a good enough coach, blah, 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 all the things. But the last couple decades, I am more than happy to be wrong, right? It's a great thing when I am wrong, if I've tossed something. So there might be a little inner work for you there, right? Do you believe that you need to be right all the time in order to be a good practitioner? Can you be valid and enough if you're not right all the time? Another energetics piece that goes for all of the techniques before I go to share a little bit of a harder truth, I reconnect to my love for my client, really feel that love, and the knowing, back to the knowing that they're whole and complete exactly as they are. And then the other important piece before we get into the techniques, back to energetics, make sure you've got an equal playing field. If it's skewed to where you think your client is better than you, then you may not have the confidence and courage to share and give the toss. If it's skewed to where you think you're better than your client, you run the risk of disempowering them. I always tell my personal story on this. I'll share it really quick. A number of years ago now, because my youngest daughter, Yael, was just a baby, I was at an event. My business manager at the time was following this huge coach, huge in the industry, and she had a free ticket, and it was very close to where I lived, and she said, come, and I'm like, yeah, but I came anyway. And the conversation was about manifesting more time. And I really wanted a breakthrough because I had a 5-year-old, I had a baby, I had a business, I really wanted more time to work on my business. I wanted a breakthrough around time. And I wasn't seeing it. You know, I wasn't seeing it. So I very courageously went up to the microphone and asked my question, and I shared, I wanted to really make more time for my business, but I, you know, because this, that, and the other thing, I wasn't seeing how. And this famous coach on the stage, he said, "You know what your problem is? Your problem is that you don't really like the work that you do. And that's why you're not making the time for it." Now, he was reflecting his hard truth in that moment. I'll just tell you briefly, the way it went was it hit me like this. And I really wanted the breakthrough. And even though I was very ashamed in that moment, there were hundreds of people in the room. I was like, stick with it, Joanna, don't run away. Maybe this guy is saying something here, you know, but no part of me, I love my work. I was so passionate about my work. This was not tracking at all. And so I said, you know, that doesn't actually land for me. I don't think that's the case. And he essentially said, you know, to come back to him when I was willing to hear what he had to say. Not a good example of reflecting the truth. And you see the power play in there, right? He was not willing to be wrong. And there was a power over situation there. Even if there was a kernel of truth, maybe in what he was seeing, because the playing field was so unequal, I would have never been able to hear it. Okay. All that being said, let's look at some ways to reflect truths. I love that Bruce said, like, there's a spectrum, right? So you want to kind of know on that particular day, in that particular moment, where to be on the spectrum. First way I call slow and steady, slow and steady. So number one, ask permission, get consent. It might sound something like this. There's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you might not be aware of. Would it be okay for me to share what I'm seeing with you? Right? So we get that consent. If you get a yes, then here's step two of slow and steady. I may not be getting this right, and I trust your inner wisdom. So you let me know how this lands. I've noticed X, whatever the X is. Am I getting that right? I've noticed that you tend to self-sabotage right after you have a success. I've noticed that you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, it's like you lose all of your confidence, right? Whatever it is. So I might not be getting this right. I trust your knowing. So you let me know. I've noticed X. Magic words. Am I getting that right? Now, as I said earlier, it might totally hit the spot, right? And it's like ding, ding, ding. Or it might be like, no, but that's making me think XYZ, right? And then you go with it, whatever it is, follow up with a deeper question, right? So this slow and steady is about consent. It's about willing to be wrong. It's like, you know, it's about just if you sense that it's something that the defenses might go up, if you toss it, it's a very gentle way of reflecting a truth. Let me pause on there. Thoughts, what's clicking for you? What's feeling important? Questions on this? Victoria.
I'm just really loving how it's emphasizing this like partnership where like you're walking down the path together. And so you might see something and you're like, this is what I think I'm seeing. Like, how does that land, or what do you think about that? And then the beauty is like 100% when then the client starts crafting it for themselves, like, oh, that's right, except for this one little part, it's actually more like this. And then they get the clarity out of editing your offer.
Yes.
It's beautiful partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're using that, like the term, the partnership and the co-creating, because it is, it's never about us creating awareness for the client. It's always that co-creation. Good. Johanna's saying, help, this is helpful with communication all around. It builds the relationship and is empowering. Yes, we want to empower, right? Maria, I'm just noticing in the chat from before, you're talking about how sometimes the truths aren't about negative patterns, it's about compliments. And that can be shocking. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, because celebrating is another way of co-creating awareness. And it's not as easy sometimes as we think it is. So we'll definitely get there for part two of this. Jessica.
So I know that I mentioned earlier that my husband's my person and he always supports me, but he actually brought something up to me last night when he got home from work. He's an air traffic controller, so he's very direct. I don't think he had time to decompress and how to, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, come home to me. So it just had to do with something that we work on together. We both coach dragon boat paddlers. And I introduced some new things to paddlers in the morning, and it made our session with them go over, right? Not because it, you know. So when he got home last night, rather than softening the blow and saying, hey, I noticed this, and he just came right out and said, what do you think of this? And I got very defensive, right? So we even though we're trying to be like, hey, what are your thoughts on whatever, you know, we have to really preface that with some softness. Because I was like, run for the hills. And I got very defensive. We talked it out. It was no problem. But I was like, you came home, massive air traffic controller energy, and you just zinged me at 11 o'clock at night.
It's such a great example of why slow and steady is sometimes exactly what someone needs. It's also, I'm glad you're sharing this, because I think there are some other learnings to mine in this. Number one, it's such a great example of why we as practitioners need to not feel rushed or too dysregulated ourselves in our sessions. And then the third thing I'll say is it's also about picking the practitioner that's right for you, because there are some people, right, that are just like more straight shooters like that. And some people really want that. So great. Thank you for sharing, Marla. And then we're going to keep on going.
All right. I'll try to make this fast. I mean, first of all, I want to say I'm really surprised at how triggered I am by the usage of truth here. I mean, to the extent that I'm having trouble reading the comments and staying present. Having said that, so someone mentioned setting the container. I don't think anything I say is true or not true. It's what I believe, it's my opinion. And when presenting that way and coming from my heart, I have no problems. I don't even see this as a problem. The other thing I realize is, and someone mentioned this, it's really interesting, I bring in my readings, but in 15 minutes when I'm sitting to do a reading for somebody, I realized I set the container. And one of the things I say is, when I get something for you, it could be wrong.
Yeah.
Or it could be something you're not aware of or something that hasn't happened yet. So that third one doesn't apply. But I think that the combination of, I mean, it, the reason I'm triggered by truth is because, I mean, I'm not going to go into that, but it's when you frame it as, this is just what I think, what do you think? Does that make sense? Is this something that, you know, I invite you to consider? And I don't know. I think that using the truth is,
That's exactly, Marla, why I said at the very beginning of the call that it's not a truth with a capital T, and it's always the client's truth. And I'm so sorry that triggers you. Like, cross it out. No,
that's okay. I'm not looking for a something response else. To that. I'm just
I do want to respond and say I'm sorry. I can feel it. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah. And call it something else. And like I just demonstrated, we're never at any point saying to a client, this is the truth. That's exactly what I was saying. Be willing to be wrong. Client's always right. All of the pieces.
Right.
So I'm glad that you're bringing that up. We're never saying to a client, yeah, this is the truth.
But I guess, yeah, I don't want to get into a really big thing, but I'm surprised at how triggered I am by it. And it's usually used sparingly, but it's like, yeah, use so much. It's very interesting that the and I know how people use it, but
yeah.
It's just because it's used so liberally during this session. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. I hear you. Maybe there's a different way that I can call it, but I would also say, and I'll think on that, but I would also say, because it's bringing up so much for you, there might be something there for you to take a look at too.
Absolutely.
So I'll do my looking, you do yours. Good. And you spoke to a little bit to pre-framing, and Bruce is asking in the chat, can you pre-frame all of that? Yes. And I recommend that you do. I ask as early as in the questionnaire that a client gets, what is the best way that they like to, I forget how I word it, but like I actually ask them, you know, do I have permission? What is the best way? I'll mention it on a first call, but then I still always ask permission as well. Okay, good. Good. So let's keep on going. Here's another way. Personal anecdote. So we don't want to use personal anecdote too much, or just, you know, for our own vanity. But that being said, a short story from our personal experience, sometimes it can really help a client see what's happening for them. It can really co-create awareness for them. So in this way, I still often ask permission. I won't always ask, but I'll often ask permission to tell a personal anecdote. So I might say something like, you know, your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Would it be okay if I share? Because I think there might be learning here for you. And one of the reasons why I often ask permission to share a personal anecdote is because sometimes a client feels, they might feel like it's wasting their session time. They don't want to hear it, right? So unless I know a client's going to, sometimes if I just know if someone will be totally open to it, I won't ask, but otherwise I'm mindful of that and I'll ask. And then I'll very briefly share the anecdote. And then from there, I'll say, how might this relate to your situation? Or what does this spark for you? Or if it doesn't relate at all, let me know as well, right? Again, I'm not right. This is a toss. You know, let me know if I'm off here. So telling a personal anecdote where there's kind of a learning or a thread or an obvious thing in it that relates to something that you're seeing for your client. Two more ways. The next way is a little half reflecting, half questioning. So it's when you introduce a particular type of language that the client hasn't used yet, but you know it'll be a little bit of a the question itself will create awareness. The way that you phrase the question is, there's a reflection in it. So I'll give you an example of this. Let's say you're working with a client and they're working all the time. They're working. They're complaining about how they don't want to work, but they just keep on doing it. They're bowling past their own boundaries for the end of the workday. It's affecting their life. You might ask this question. Again, it has the reflection in the question. When did you decide that you were going to risk so much in your life, even your health, for your work? So it's a question that has the reflection in it. And then I'll share one more way and we'll open up for some more cues. Fourth way I call bold and beautiful. This is if a client is ready in that moment for a more direct reflection. To do a bold and beautiful, it's important that you have a tight container and that you've really been listening to your client during the session. And you know that is, they're open and that's gonna, it's almost like the direct is gonna hit them in a certain way. That is what's gonna create the breakthrough or co-create the new awareness. I want to remind you that being bold or being direct doesn't mean that there isn't complete love, respect, and compassion, right? So you can be direct and it can also be full of love and respect. So some examples of that, and again, it has to just be the right moment. But I have some clients that we have really tight containers. And I know in certain moments, I might say something like, my BS detector is going off right now. And it's like, and I'll say it with humor and love, not like serious. And it's exactly what they need to hear, right? They start cracking up at themselves because they know they've just been telling a story that's not true, right? About themselves or their situation. Or I don't believe that, right? Again, right moment. I don't believe it's true that your clients hate you, right? Just direct. Every now and again, there's so many ways to do it. And again, sometimes I bring a little humor in as well with a love when I'm being direct and bold. Sometimes somebody will say something and I'll just say, really? Are you sure? Again, has to be right moment for the right client with the right thing. Okay, so we've got slow and steady. We've got personal anecdote. We've got putting the reflection into the question, and we've got bold and beautiful. Let's pause here. What's feeling important? What are you seeing? Or what do you have a question on? What's coming together for you, Rosa?
Yeah, these are great. Thank you so much. Could you please just repeat? I just need to hear the words for some reason. The first step of slow and steady, like how you ask for permission.
Yeah. This is just one way, one example. There's something I'm noticing about what you just shared that you might not be aware of, or there's something, you know, as you just shared, I heard something inside of me that I wanted to share, right? So there's lots of different ways you can say it, but then the permission is, would you be open to me sharing this with you, or would it be okay if I shared, or do you want to hear it? Mm-hmm. Thank or that just made me think of something, right? So there's lots of different ways to deliver that, but you want the asking for permission and the consent piece in there. Sharon.
Yeah, I think the thing that keeps coming up for me is a piece about all of these techniques for me will only work when I really truly know myself.
Talk more about that.
Very confident, let's take the word very out because that's my perfectionist part coming in.
Yeah.
when I'm feeling balanced in myself and also kind of really knowing where my skills are and what I'm capable of in that moment. And if I'm even just a little not quite fully present, then I can see a downward spiral with the energetics on any of these. So there's, it's reminding me to come back to my confidence in myself, my skills and my abilities to know where they are and where they're not in that moment.
Yeah.
And to really kind of tie that up with the intuition and the judgment and using those to bring this in with it. So I'm really seeing that the weaving of how all of this comes together. And yes. If there's one little bit that's not quite right, for me to take a pause and take that step back and make the decision as, is this going to be right? Not necessarily right, but is this a good time for this? Or actually, let's park it and then come back to it. Because if not, I could see me unraveling with all this afterwards and going, oh my God. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I love that you're sharing that. And a couple pieces on that. Yes, for sure. You want your energetics in place and your skills in place. And just like you said, make sure you're not applying myth of, as a perfectionist, make sure you're not applying myth of perfection there. And I think what helps with that is coming back to the trusting yourself and trusting your client. And trusting the container that you've created, that if it's not the right reflection or it doesn't hit them exactly so at first, that it's okay. It's all for the learning. So I want you to not push yourself, but I also want you to not wait until the exact right moment where all the stars are aligned as well. There's one other piece that just flew out of my mind. Oh, and we'll have opportunity to practice too. So hopefully that will help. We'll practice together and with partners.
It actually reminded me of something that actually is also really important. This piece around, I did some mediation work a while back, and this piece around testing the waters to see if something's resonating for your client or not. And actually when it doesn't, it didn't matter, because that reframe and the
exactly,
oh, no, that's not what I meant it was often more important. And I found that for myself, sometimes with some clients, it was almost beneficial for me to almost deliberately not quite get it right.
So
the client then had that empowerment to come in and go, actually, no, this is what it was. And it dropped my expert little thing.
Yes. Yeah, your need. And I love that.
Gave that empowerment. So when you mentioned it then, it's like, that came up in passing and I lost that bit. So thank you.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so glad. And your sharing that reminded me of the other thing that I wanted to share. This is like another little tip and tool that I sometimes use, is if I'm feeling a little like, I don't know if I should, but I really want to share what I'm seeing. I might say something like, okay, so this is an experiment and I could be totally off, you know, like I bring this energy of like, I'm already like, I don't know, it's an experiment, or this just like came through, tell me if this is wild, but right. So there are so many different ways that we can approach, but again, it comes back to being willing to be wrong, knowing our client always knows best. And then consent in a lot of cases. I want to take the rest of the hands that are up before we officially wrap, because it is just at 2. So let me just make sure I say this before we wrap, and then whoever can hang on, I take your cues. You've got homework. worksheet to go deeper with all of this in your member center. If you're a seasoned coach, I want you to think about what's your edge with all of this from today. Like, where do you want to be experimenting? Don't just rest on your laurels, right? Where is your edge with all of this? And then for everyone, if you have a coaching partner for this week's coaching partner session, practice reflecting, right? So maybe you find one harder truth. We didn't get to just reflecting easy truths today. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but practice reflecting. And maybe have written down, if it's helpful for you, for that partner session or your sessions out in the world, what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that they're ready to, that would create a shortcut to their growth or results? Practice kind of asking that question more naturally to yourself as you're listening and going to reflect. Build that muscle. All right, Maria.
So, you know, my question is, I'm coming into a new, I'm going from midwifery where it's my job to tell the hard truth. And so I didn't hide from that because I'm the only one that could tell them what sometimes what they could tell. So that, but now I'm in another job. I'm stepping into this coaching and like, they don't have to stay with me or not, right? Like the urgent need is not as there. So I think you started with this, but my question really is, you start with creating awareness. So you can start here, because this might take your whole session if you bring up something and then you've got to like work with it, because you might see it at the end and be like, oh, shoot. And then you don't want to bring it up right at the end because you're about to be done and you're about to trigger her all over the place. And so is that. So that's kind of partially timing within the person. Are they ready? You're energetics, but the timing of the session, so you can have enough buffer.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing it up. Yeah. You definitely don't want to drop something at the very end. Again, unless you know your client can take it, right? So yes, you might save that for the next time or see how it resolves in between sessions. Or, you know, whatever it is, but in the last couple of minutes, probably not. So you want to not only coach the what based on the who, coach the what based on the when. And so I'm so glad you're bringing it up. And then I think just the other piece I want to say in what you're sharing is when we do it with these skills and these things that we're talking about today, we're way less, number one, we're way less likely to trigger. Number two, I'll let everybody sit with this. It is okay every now and again, if the container is tight and there is love and respect and energy in the container, to trigger a little bit. Even two years ago, I would not have said that out loud. And again, you know, check it out for yourself. I would have been too scared. I've become more courageous over the last years to even like share this. Trigger doesn't have to be bad.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I want to say that too.
I do too, because there's a lot of love in an initiator. And that's in a way, that's what a counselor or a coach or this mentor, people coming to you, holding that sort of alignment. It's not stabbing or poking, but it's in an alignment. And there's this beautiful edge where there's a lot of truth and it's very loving. So thank you for, we were so afraid of triggering and upsetting when there's just so much that's on the other side of it. If people are willing to stay and if the container is right, there's a lot of components around it, but
yeah, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce.
Sharon actually talked a little bit about being wrong and that really gave me permission. That was great the way she stated it. Just it's okay to be wrong because it actually informs the session and actually helps me to see like, oh, this wasn't right. That means that possibly this is open to interpretation as well. So it really helped me to be okay with being wrong, right? It's almost like a thing that you throw out there just to see if something works or not, right?
That's right. So that was and really if you helpful. Trust your client and the two of you are working together, that what is right or the truth for them or whatever you want to call it will come through. So it's still the thing that isn't the right thing is can still be leading them towards it in a very beautiful way.
Right. Yeah. And then I had another question, but this may take too long and that's fine if it does, Joanna, because I know we're going over your time and want to honor that, but I had this question around mirroring versus reflecting.
We're going to get there tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, we didn't have time for it today, but yeah, hold on it. And then if you still have a question, we'll come back.
Okay, thank you.
Mirroring. Yeah. Jennifer.
Thank you. It's so good. I love this. I just wanted to highlight, you know, you're talking about creating awareness and how basically, you know, it's like, it's really important to ask questions, right? Like that's the number one, but then at some point, some truth bombs need to happen, breakthrough in that sense. And I was just wondering if you could, you know, mention again, like some, I know the questions are so juicy and valuable, and sometimes I just want to catch the chase, and maybe that also has to do like what time is it, and like I need to make sure we have 20 minute buffer before the end of the session. But if you could just speak to that, you know, perhaps you said it earlier about like what's that intuitive hit of I try to feel into it, like, oh, I need to ask more questions to empower them.
So, yeah. So when we get to our questioning module, we'll do some inner work on the impulse to not, like the, I'm not going to ask the question because I need to get there too quick or they're not going to know or what, like,
yeah. So
we'll take care of the inner piece on that in a couple weeks. I'm trying to think if there are any things I can say though about the, like from when you are in an aligned, you know, clean place with it, making the decision. So sometimes time is a factor, right? Mm-hmm. So not so much with like a harder thing, like Maria was saying at the end of the session, but sometimes if we're like, we're 10 minutes left and there's something that I think it's important for the client to know because they've got some action steps to take that week or whatever, I'll say, I'm going to toss this now. I'm also going to give you some reflection questions on it for homework.
Yes.
But for the conversation for the time being, this is something that I'm seeing. Does that land for you?
Yes.
Right. So where like maybe a question would have been better in that moment if we had 25 more minutes, but I'm naming it, right? And I'm saying, you know, I'm going to give you some ideas to go deeper on your own, but does this seem viable for us to go on in this moment so we can look at this action step or that? Right. So we're always, that's why I always say like, it's an art, not a science, right?
Yeah. And
using all of our skills to meet the moment. So it could be a time thing sometimes. I think for me, more than anything else, it's a question of, is if I ask a question on this, will the client see it on there? Do I sense the client will see it on their own? That's the factors.
Yeah.
And then, wait, there was just one other, hold on. Oh, will it be more supportingly dramatic if I say it? Like, is there something that needs to like crack in a little bit of a dramatic way? And will the saying of it be more effective in that than the asking of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are moments where I'm going for like gentle and soft. And then there are other moments where I'm going for like, ooh, that was a drama moment. That kind of thing, right? So I think those are the two questions that I'm asking myself when I make the decision to do more of a reflection versus a question.
Yeah, I hear you. One client in particular, I can feel her kind of leaning on me for the answer. And I notice, like, you know, I'm not always asking a question to lead, but I do. I'm sure we'll get to that. But, like, you know, one is that, is it okay to kind of, I mean, that's to me what, you know, without having an expectation of kind of like, if you see something, like, I try to ask the question to help them see that thing without me having to say it. But I have one client, I'll try to ask them the questions for them to get to it. And I, you know, she'll just say, like, Jen, will you just tell me the answer? And I have to remind her, like, well, there is no answer. You know, there's, you're not broken.
Yeah. Well, and let me pause you there. So if you have a client that's consistently saying, just tell me the answer.
Yeah.
I think it's usually worthwhile to go deep, like to look at that as a pattern.
Okay.
With them, right?
And use these skills that we just learned.
Right. I love and, that. And ask questions, right? Because there's something there about her not trusting her own truth or doubting herself or thinking it's only true if somebody else says it or feeling she's not creative enough to get to the answer. There's, I don't know what it is, right? For each person, it's going to be different, but every now and again, a client will just be like, I know I'm supposed to get the answer myself, but can you just tell me, you know, and I might, right? Or I'd be like, yes, but before I tell you, tell me why you want to know from me versus yourself, right? Like all the things.
Ooh,
but if it's
yeah.
consistent and you haven't spoken about it, I would really recommend with that client, I have a feeling that will unlock some other things that the two of you are working on together to look at what that pattern is about. For her.
I have addressed it, but not as eloquently as you just did. And can you just repeat a beautiful way of saying that again?
Just like so probably go back to the slow and steady. So I'm not going to feed it. Speaking of not giving answers, I'm not going to feed it. Go back to the slow and steady notes. And
got
for
it.
This client, I want to actually invite you to write out, not that you're going to read from it, but write out what you would say to her to open up some awareness.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm noticing. Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, Joanna.
You're welcome. Good. All right, everyone. Sending you all lots of love. Hopefully I will see some of you tomorrow for our part two on creating awareness. If not, you'll catch the recording. I hope you have a great rest of your day.